What you've just said, by the way, is definitely the soundbite at the start of the episode.
It's easier to, and then from that obstacle come up with the outcome than to see. It's a lot easier to bitch about stuff than to come up with new stuff, right? We're all really good at complaining. It's a lot easier to complain. So let them complain. And what would you do about it?
Hi, and welcome to another podcast on enterprise agility brought to you by the Agility Crew. Our crew consists of leading experts in the industry who give their knowledge freely to invest in the skills we all need. Now let's join our crew for this week's episode.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's Ian.
It's Ricardo.
And Eric is deep in something, so it's just the two of us today. Ricardo, I wanted to do a bit of a clinic with you and talk through something, if you don't mind. Something on my mind, if that's okay. And it's this problem. Someone messaged me this week about it, and I've got to do a bit of a sort of podcast, an internal company podcast on this, yeah. For a company I used to work for. I'm going back to do some podcasts for them. It's this problem. Let me explain it to you. So we've got a team that's like the... I would call them the Coalition for Change team in this company. They've now established how they'll deliver the changes they want for this company. It's a wide team. There's maybe 30 people on it. They've got a process for delivering, an embryonic process, simple process for delivering the changes that they want.
Yeah.
But what they haven't got, and this is where they want me to talk to them, is... Have you ever heard of upstream and downstream Kanban?
Yeah.
I know you have. So basically the idea is you use Kanban in both the upstream thinking, creating, coming up with your backlog, then it moves over to the downstream delivery Kanban to be delivered.
Yeah.
So essentially we've got the downstream Kanban bit sorted.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking of going to look at the classic books on, the CRISP classic book on this to do with upstream Kanban, but I wouldn't mind your ideas. It's literally a blank piece of paper, and I know you've done this a lot in other companies, and this is the kind of thing that I think people will be interested in hearing about. How do you create your overall change backlog in a company? And I'm looking at really practical ideas, mate. You know, literally, what would you do? What steps would you take? What's on your mind?
Yeah. First, a couple of questions. In that change group, how many layers of the organization do you have?
How many layers? So it's sort of. I've got to be careful about the language I use because I'll give away the company if I'm not careful. It's sort of T minus two off the exec. So somewhere near the top of the middle layer range.
Yeah.
But they represent all areas of the company. I mean, that is one of the problems, by the way. At the moment, this is a company that I worked at 3 years ago. They're still got this behaviour that they're ambassadors representing areas to sort out. But
are they? We are talking like 20 people roughly representing an horizontal slice of the organisation, or is it like three layers of the organisation?
No, to horizontal slice.
Yeah, so that's the first thing you need to break. You need to find a way to do something, and we can discuss the something, but whatever that something is, if you don't want to be bringing to this downstream component to the masses stuff that they won't recognize, you need to find a way to engage people at different layers below these people.
Okay, so that's great. Tip one, you've got to look at vertical as well as horizontal.
Yeah. Otherwise, these people will be... guessing what is the journey that the people below need to make, and those people won't be quite as engaged.
Okay. So
that's one tip. Next one is, now we have a problem because you told me there are 20 areas, and then if you add three layers to it, you need to engage at least like 60 people, or you need to ditch a few of these 20 people that you have. So you probably want to do something that will be a tree of change, that you cannot run one big workshop with 60 people. Well, you could, but you probably want to engage people. So how about if you find a way to divide those 20 people into three or four? Do you have some natural streams in your current work?
Yeah, so one of the debates I think the guy who's looking after this said to me was, do I divide the work according to some natural streams?
Yeah.
Or do I divide it according to trying to make a cross-function team work together? Yeah. And I sort of think that's down to the nature of the backlog, the nature of the change stories that we create. But yeah. What's your thought?
Well, let me assume that you have like four areas of work. If you have four areas of work, you want cross-functionality, and that you can create by having some sync between the four areas of work. But where you have cross-functionality missing is on those layers of the organization, vertical. So I'll divide those groups, give leadership to each of those five areas to a subgroup. Then you have groups of like seven people. You told me 28. Yeah. Each of them responsible for one of the areas of work. And the first thing that you want to do is a lot of ideation. So you could run four separate workshops, one for led by each of these groups. And you could even invite the other groups that are not leading. If it will make it a bit more complex, but they could attend as attendees. So you could have seven leading, and out of these, the ones that are interested can join. But then these seven need to invite another 21 people from the organization like this.
Tell me more about how you might do, and this is great, mate, by the way. We're deliberately running this as I'm interviewing you and asking questions, but, you know, I'm already knowing the ideas I like. Tell me more about how you might, across an organisation, create an ideation workshop.
Oh, I'm very boring on that one. I take some concepts from design studios sometimes, but for this one, I would borrow from Mike Borrow's work, kind of celebration 5W.
Yep. Yeah. Let's just pause on that and say what that is to everyone in case you don't know. Mike Burrows runs Agenda Shift, an organization we love. Mike lives very near me in England, so I get to talk to him some of the times as well. He created this almost like a canvas board called the Celebration Workshop. 5Ws, available for free from Agenda Shift. You can just go and get it. And essentially, you start with how I present this usually is I go, imagine you're in a Doctor Who TARDIS and you're going 5 years in the future. And on the board, there is a section where you put the time, and I put 5 years in.
Yeah.
And I go, maybe that's too long, maybe that's too short. We can talk about it later. But let's assume it's 5 years' time. It's not a small TARDIS. Yeah. And then I make a joke about TARDISes aren't small on the inside anyway. But, you know, a lot of people can be in it. So imagine we're having a big celebration for having finished a fantastic piece of work.
Yeah.
What is it we're celebrating?
Exactly.
And then we write those down.
Yeah.
We write those down on post-its. And then we go, okay, if that's what and where, then, well, where is, you know, when rather. If that's when and what. The next one is why. Why is that worth celebrating? Yeah. And having done those, you can then go to where, which is, you know, where you might do some celebrating. And you can be a bit visionary about that. So I did one with NASA once.
celebrating in Mars.
Yeah, well, what was interesting was I didn't quite realise what I'd set off by this, but there was a big debate between the moon and Mars as far as they were concerned and, you know, caused a big argument in the team. I wasn't expecting it at all, but, you know, clearly the people who think we need to get the moon right were very vocal about that. So, anyway. And then the final one is who, i.e. who comes to the party. So anyway, celebration workshop. That's a bit of a pause just to help people understand that. That was your first point.
Yeah. So some form of celebration workshop. And like you said, it's very important to take a look at if it's an organization that has never done it, you have to really consider is 5 years better than 1 year. Sometimes it's better to do it very short term because it becomes very tangible. So you're talking a year. Sometimes you really need to make them dream and go 5 years. But then be ready to stick with that organization for the next 5 years, helping them. So I tend to go for the 1W, for the 1 year.
One year.
1 year on that one. That's my
decision. You might be right there. I mean, I picked five as a just to get the idea across, but you might be right. What, five is a long way off. And, you know, one of my friends once said to me, you sometimes overestimate what you can do in a year, but you underestimate what you can do in 3 or 5.
Yeah.
But I get your point here, Ricardo, about the focus you get from thinking about a year.
Yeah.
It's attainable, isn't it? It's graspable. Yeah. It's a, as they say in some of the books, it's a vision that people can follow you on if it's a year away.
I've done smaller scale 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah. I've never done 5 years. Maybe I just don't have enough imagination for that one. But I don't think there is a right answer. You have to see, are you trying to make a new company? I don't know. When I ran the transformation for that bank in Kazakhstan many years ago, that we have to tell the story in one episode, then it was, we didn't start with these because I didn't have this tool set. I don't think Mike had written the book yet. But we did look at 5 years in the future because we basically started the digital bank inside the bank. To take it over, and the whole vision was that over the next few years that bank was going to acquire the main bank.
The main bank, yeah.
So it like almost everything that we discuss, the magic, it depends. Yeah. Now, continuing on the Mike Burrows, then...
Mike Burrows, the celebration workshop lets you look at outcomes.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
It really goes together with finding, people are much better at finding out what is blocking them from getting somewhere than at generating directly ideas. You always get a lot more blockers than original ideas. So I really like what he does, although I don't always do it the same way, but finding a way to focus on the obstacles and then turn them into outcomes.
Are you talking about the 15-minute photo?
Yeah, but I've had very mixed results with a 15-minute photo.
Yeah, that is interesting. I've also had mixed results with it. That's interesting because I used to think it was brilliant and now I'm going, it didn't quite always do what we need.
Yeah, the problem with the 15-minute photo is don't underestimate the number of coaches you need to inject into the room. If you have 28 people, like we're talking about, probably also with another 15 people that are just joining or something like that, you as a coach should not run this alone. That's the problem I had, because people get lost. Because now the photo 15 is brilliant, by the way. It's what you do is you sit people on tables and you give them different roles. Let me see if I remember all of them. You have the coach, the coachee, the observer, and the scribe.
Spot on, well done.
And if people have never done it before, how do you explain, especially if you haven't warmed them up before, what being a coach means, what being a scribe means? Scribe, they usually get quite well. Being the interviewee can be quite painful. Being the observer. So I would always inject as observers people that I had time to prep or that were coaches. So if you have an organization where you have a scrum masters already or something like that, someone needs to facilitate, I would bring them on as co-coaches for that part of the workshop, and then it works. But if you just take a group of random people from three layers of the organization that have never talked to each other, that should be talking to each other and lifting cross-functional outcomes in each of these groups, I would inject the scrum masters to help facilitate.
I think I might create a laminated role card and give them that as well as a bit of a briefing. You know, in this exercise, you are going to be the scribe. That means you are responsible for the following things, and this is what you're doing. Little card, like a photo card, actually.
Yeah.
We haven't really explained photo card yet, but we'll get there. Mm-hmm. That, and then you know, you are the interviewee. You have to do this off the photo card and just ask these questions. You are the responder. This is what you have. So I might do that. I heard Mike talk about this in large groups, saying he used 1-2-4-all with it as well.
Yeah, the 1-2-4-all you need to do next, because they're going to have what you're going to get is an unfiltered backlog of outcomes, which is going to be way too large if you're successful. We have like 200 to 300 of those in that group, which is great. And then I would swap the group around I'm just picturing the room. Sorry, it takes me a couple of seconds to. I would swap them around and have them start grouping. Either a 1-2-4-all. Yeah, it could be a 1-2-4-all to distill them and group them. There is very. A lot of those outcomes are sequences that you want to keep together. If we do this, then we can do that, then we can do that, then we can do that. So you need to find a way to keep those together. So if I had the whole day, I would do photo 15, 1-2-4-all, and then go to my favorite, which is the World Cafe.
World Cafe, okay. Yeah. We should just pause on photo just for a second and explain it in case people don't know. Another Mike Burroughs brilliant thing. It's a card that you use to ask certain questions only. Yeah. Again, photo 15, F-O-T-O, you can look it up. And essentially the person asking the questions reads only the questions on the card.
Yes.
That's all they can do. And basically, somebody answers those questions and the scribe writes down the answers. And the gold in the idea is that you keep saying, and if that happened, what would that mean? And if that happened, what would that mean? And in the end, you get to, it's almost like a five whys kind of process. You end up with what really is the gold.
Yeah, it's a three-dimensional five whys. Because the photo 15 questions allow you to probe what comes next, what led to that, or to dive deeper into something. So it's really amazing.
Essentially, the discipline is the person asking the questions can only ask the questions on the card.
Or
you can't wander
words
off.
That the other person said in the previous sentence.
And you repeat them back. Exactly. So, you know.
Even just being the coach in a photo 15 is quite an exercise, especially for an exec, one of those execs that always put words in other people's mouths.
That's right, yeah. Instead of putting words in other people's mouths, I'm taking your words, replaying them back to you, making you think, and it is quite a revelation for some leaders.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, so that's the photo 15 thing. Yeah. And 1-2-4-all, that's a liberating structures kind of thing. You can go and look that up. And essentially it allows you... So you said you're going to use that to cluster the ideas together, which is part of the sorting after you've done the original ideation, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you need to mix the groups because each group... You need what you want to do is to find ideas that cross the groups and group them again together. So hopefully you whittle down from those 300 that you had originally into 70, and you might introduce some kind of ranking or ask them to produce some kind of outcome where there is always already a priority or a time. The time element is very, this leads to that, time could be a good element. Once you get to that, and if you have time, you could do 3 or 4 rounds of World Cafe. So with 28 people, you can...
Yeah. Tell me more about World Cafe. Probably, for our audience, more people won't know World Cafe than anything else. So tell us about that in detail.
The World Cafe is the most scalable liberating structure. So it scales to a pretty large group. And what you do is you set up tables to discuss topics. So you need to have a backlog of topics next to a table. And there are a few variations, but usually if it is a group of 7, I would make it a bit structured that people have to go around. So you put a topic on the table. You have, let's say, a group of 4 people discuss it, and they have an outcome they need to produce, usually like a big A1 sheet divided into 3 areas, whatever is the outcome you want to produce. So it could be imagine that you want to prioritize to break down a backlog into a plan of action. Then you could say, given these ideas, what can we do in the short term, mid term, long term? Then you do very quick iterations, like 15 minute or 10 minute even. And 3 of those people will move on, if you had 4, to the next table. And 1 person that really cares stays there. So you have the contribution of 3 people, 1 advocate for that sheet, and you rotate people. Then 3 new people come in and build on top of the original idea, while those 3 people went. It's a really good way of getting everyone to contribute to an idea in a very efficient way. So you could set up seven stations in a, with those 28 people and have everyone contribute and especially get a lot of buy-in into those ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can see it brings a lot of buy-in because by the time I finish this exercise, let's say there are seven of these, I have discussed and given some refinement of what I've seen already, but I've also got some insight into what this needs to be, and I'm probably more interested in committing to it. And certainly, let's say in the end, when this issue comes back up on delivery backlogs, I've got some skin already in the game on what it is and why it exists. Is that fair?
Very much. So you get, if you do two rounds with seven tables, you can dig into 14 things. And it doesn't take that long. I've done World Cafes like in half. Sometimes I do a few variations on it. So sometimes the first group has 10 minutes, but then the second group has 8 minutes, then the third group has 5 minutes, and the fourth group has 5 minutes. Because usually the idea is quite developed.
Yeah, because the idea is already developed. You're refining it, you're giving less time. Yeah.
But this way, everyone has a chance to contribute. Another trick I do is once I get all the outcome of these, I run it through OpenAI.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
With the participants, once they create these beautiful sheets, but they're sheets of bullets usually, one of my favorite prompts is scan the bullet. You can take a photo of it with Apple Notes. You can do it on your phone in front of them or on your laptop. So you scan the sheet they produced, and then you... Apple Notes automatically lets you select the text that was there. It will have a few typos, but OpenAI doesn't care. And you give that sheet to OpenAI with the prompt like, turn this into a vision, a mission, and a short, mid, and long-term plan. And then you show it to the people and say, what do we need to change here? And usually they say, no, this is brilliant. This totally reflects. And now you have a beautiful card that you can put on your backlog that has why are we doing it, how are we doing it on a very high level, mission, vision, and then has what we need to do in short, mid, and long term. So you've just turned your backlog from 300 random obstacles to creating 28 cards for that backlog. And prioritizing between 14 cards, actually. In this case, you could do four rounds. But people get tired after three rounds. So, but you just turn your backlog into really powerful cards. And if you wanted those cards to be more like an A4, like an A3 from Kanban, just ask a different question from OpenAI.
OpenAI
can help you do the formatting. One critical thing. Don't do this after the workshop and show to people, this is what you produced out of your outcome. You need to do it at the workshop. They need to read it and say, yes, that's what we produced. Otherwise,
brilliant.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned. We all know this. Not just on this issue, but on many, you think you've got it sorted and fixed. You go off and write it all up, bring it back, and they want to argue over the write-up. Yeah. So, you know, you want to get to, it's a classic agile point, this isn't it? You want to get to done in the workshop.
You have to get to done in the workshop. And remember, if you're introducing OpenAI to help you write the cards, people need to look at those cards before they are published and contribute to them and even correct a bit what OpenAI did. Otherwise, it's not theirs anymore. And then you lost the whole thing.
Yes.
I might have done that mistake once in the past.
So in A, where you say, thanks for this, we'll now do OpenAI on it. What they go is they go, we did stuff and then OpenAI took over. Okay. In B, you say, now we're going to use OpenAI in front of each other to come up with something which we can draft. They'll later say, we used AI to refine what we did, but it's ours.
Yeah.
It's a very different thing.
Yeah. Now you have 14 cards or 21 cards or 28 cards. I don't think this workshop is the one where you need to prioritize. Each of these, remember you broke the original thing into groups, but now you have cards that have input from the whole organization, you have some people going back to the line organization saying, I was in this workshop. There was this bald guy with glasses. He was brilliant. Or this hairy guy without glasses.
Hairy guy with a handsome hairy guy from Portugal.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you spread a little momentum into the organization. You bring back these 14 cards, let's say, from each of those four streams. So now you have quite a backlog. You have 56 things to prioritize between. And prioritization, we can talk on the next episode.
Yes, I was going to say, let's do that exactly, Ricardo, which is next time you and I are together, we'll do the prioritization workshops we do. This was about ideation. Yeah. This was about coming up with the ideas. This was about understanding that. And we're at 25 minutes, so let's recap then. So it's an ideation exercise. We've gone through the areas. I want to go back to something what's a key nugget that we've heard together? And it is this. You said at the start, people are much better at thinking about the things that are stopping them getting to the outcomes. Let's talk about that just as we finish for a minute and emphasize it again.
Yeah. No, it's a lot easier to bitch about stuff than to come up with new stuff, right? We're all really good at complaining. It's a lot easier to complain. So let them complain. And what did you do about it? Yeah, that's a video photo 15. Sorry. Now it's not a child-safe podcast anymore. No bitching, I don't know. Yeah.
No, perfect.
It's easier to see that's the obstacle and then from that obstacle come up with the outcome than to see.
What you've just said, by the way, is definitely the soundbite at the start of the episode. For sure. And I love it. Okay. Brilliant stuff. So this episode was about ideation and how you create it in a company. Brilliant. We'll do one on prioritization next time we get ourselves together, which could be next week.
Yeah.
Depends when we've got Eric with us next, because Eric has sort of agendas that he also wants to talk through. So do I.
Yeah.
But I think this was a great episode, mate. Great episode.
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you take something from this that you can use.
Well, what's going to happen is I'm going to do an internal podcast. And by the time I do the internal podcast for this company, I worked for them 4 years ago, it'll be a bit more structured and it'll be like, oh, yeah, this is what I always do, you know.
Yeah.
And as I say in Christian circles, the first time I quote this, I'll say, my good friend Ricardo always says. The next time I quote it, it'll be, as is always said.
Yeah.
And then the time afterwards, it will be, as I always say. That's my sort of...
Then it means I'm doing my job. My ideas are becoming your ideas.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Thank you very much. Here comes Mr. Mann. See you next time.
See you next time.
That's it for this episode. Why not check out our back catalog of previous episodes and show notes? Go to enterpriseagility.info to connect and sign up. See you next time on the Enterprise Agility Mastery Podcast.